fell. I'm just trying to get my facts right here.
Are you ready to start this show?
Let's go.
Do you have both hands? Let's put one behind our back.
Okay.
We'll do it Jeremiah Smith style.
Should we?
Do Heart of the Rivalry.
That's a good idea.
All one-handed. All
right.
An all one-handed episode of Heart of the Rivalry. Do you think he needs both hands?
I'm good with that. How would I...
This is week 5 of the Heart of the Rivalry, coming to you from the epicenter of college football itself, Toledo, Ohio. We at The Blade bring you this show to cover the Ohio State team, the Michigan team, the University of Toledo team, and the Bowling Green team. Because here in Toledo, we have all those rivalries, and we have bifurcated fan bases who are interested in all of them. And there is but one man who stands above the rest with his iridescent knowledge of them. That is David Briggs, program height 6'8". How are you doing, Dave?
Good, Phil. And this week, we are the epicenter of the pro baseball universe as well. How about that as a window into Toledo's rooting interests in college football?
We are such a split town, and Briggs and I were just talking about this off-air, that even in the pros, I was actually saying that I think it's more of a Detroit town for the pros, but you disagree.
I don't disagree. I think it's more of a Tigers town for baseball than Guardians. You got the Tigers were good in the 60s, and then you got the Mud Hens connection since the 80s, and we're obviously closer to Detroit. There's certainly more Tigers fans. I don't think there's any argument there. But with the NFL, I absolutely think there are more Browns fans, and it kind of dates back to the Tigers or the Lions were good back in the day with Bobby Lane, but Browns had the dynasty in the 50s and 60s. Paul Brown had his training camp at Bowling Green each summer, so he kind of
I think
that.
That's what's most fascinating. I
know.
I totally
that's overlooked
that.
That's where the Browns got their colors from, Bowling Green, orange and brown. And a lot of the innovations in the modern football kind of came from Paul Brown's brainstorming sessions at those training camps in Bowling Green. I've written about it in the past. It's fascinating. But I think that and just the generational passing it down, there are more Browns fans in Toledo than Lions fans, but it's close.
We'll do a little recap of what we saw. Obviously, highlight reel plays from Jeremiah Smith as Ohio State ultimately pulled away from Michigan State. I'm gonna throw out an older name, and I want to see if you agree with me. I think he has better hands, but there's something about how he's always holding back a gear. It seems like Jeremiah Smith reminds me of Joey Galloway.
Sure, I mean it's
sure.
No, I mean, let's go. That's it's interesting, and we've talked about this in the past, and you look at all the great receivers in Ohio State history, probably dates back to the 80s, because, I mean, you can't go back to
Chris Carter.
You can't go back to
Terry Glenn, David Boston.
What he said, you know, if you throw, two of the three things that can happen are bad, so... Some good receivers back in the day, but none that would be on our list.
Shout out Mike Lanise.
Yeah. You look at, Joey Galloway, David Boston, Chris Carter, and then you just look at all the first rounders in recent years. Chris Olave, Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Ted Ginn.
Well, yeah, Ted Ginn back in the day.
He had a long pro career, not a necessarily illustrious one. But Ted Ginn, I feel like...
He's the fastest one of them all, that's for sure.
But he
had a long NFL career. Oh,
but he
absolutely
showed you the speed.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like Jeremiah Smith is still just like,
yeah,
he's
but
still
I think,
just revving.
But no, we've talked about this before, but I think Jeremiah Smith absolutely, I mean, think about this. They lost Marvin Harrison Jr. last year, who we thought might be the best receiver in Ohio State history. And it's like, okay, that'll be the big loss. Ohio State's returning almost everybody. And they might have dropped in, plugged and played, a guy who's just as good, if not already better, at least certainly physically better. Maybe he doesn't have the route running technical ability of Marvin Harrison yet, but just absolutely unbelievable. I mean, just makes highlight plays in his sleep. Two one-handed catches. I mean, it's everything about him is unbelievable.
And is there one that you liked better?
I mean, the touchdown catch from Devin Brown after Will Howard got
so
her,
silky.
That was pretty impressive. I mean, just reaches out like it's nothing. I mean, with his eyes closed.
My old man thinks the first catch is better.
Okay.
Because the defender's yoking on his face.
Oh, for
mask.
Sure.
He's
for
fighting
sure.
Him. He's fighting two guys off.
Well, we can take it outside with your old man.
That's right.
Okay. All right. No, but just absolutely incredible.
We're going to move from Ohio State now to Michigan, which came out blazing against Minnesota, but slowly but surely turned that into a game against the Gophers. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. Not much to say. I was actually at the Tigers game watching it on the video board during the long rain delay. Again, kind of rinse and repeat. outgained again. Can't get the don't get to 100 yards passing again. This time the running kind of stalls, which was a little surprising. A week before, Iowa just completely gashed Minnesota. This week, Michigan only has about 140, 150 rushing yards, only averaged 3.5 yards per carry, and just red flags all around. If they can't get this passing game going in any way, I think this is a 8-4 team at best. And
you've got to have a threat. Absolutely. You've got to have a. Right. You can be a run first team. That's fine, especially in college football. It's cool to have styles, right. But you've got to have the threat of throwing the ball. Speaking of threat, we both discarded Old Dominion. I think we made some new Dominion jokes, did we not? And they went into Dwight Perry and took it from the Falcons. That was a little disappointing. Do you have any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Scott Loeffler said it's a classic logo game. You know, maybe BG got up for the big games early in the season. The hype of the Thursday night opener at home against a lesser team, they come out and play awesome. Then they play well at Texas A&M and Penn State because, of course, you're going to get up for those games. Two big brands, two awesome scenes. They're feeling good about themselves. And then you play Old Dominion, which Loeffler probably rightfully compared to a middle to upper tier MAC team. Just pure talent-wise, and Bowling Green controlled the game. They should have won. Statistically, they should have won in every way, but they just made too many mistakes, and they probably just weren't mentally there yet. Bowling Green has done all the hard
things. They even had a chance at the end.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Had a million chances. Bowling Green has done the heavy lifting in building a program that, you know, everybody, Bowling Green fans, can be proud of. 6 years into the Loeffler era, everything about the program is solid. They are ready to win. The only part missing now is just the part that separates the good teams from the great teams, and that's the mental aspect of just the week-to-week consistency. I still think, you know, Bowling Green can have a great season. They might even still be the favorite in the MAC, but yeah, you can't have those kind of, and that's kind of been the hallmark of the Loeffler era, just so high one week, so low the next, and just got to kind of even that out.
I have to admit, I drank the Heart of the Rivalry Kool-Aid.
Okay.
And I took the Falcons and even teased up the line to 14
because
I thought they were going to run away from Old Dominion, which has one of the better mascot nicknames, I think, going college football unique. Did you know what they were?
The Monarchs.
The Monarchs. It's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. So I was surprised to see that loss. There was a lot of great college football all going on at the same time.
Absolutely.
Dave, what are we talking about for halftime where we go off the field?
Yeah, I don't know. We're earlier in the year, we ranked my favorite stadiums all of college football. I think this week, as MAC play begins, going to take a look at my ranking of the top stadiums in the Mid-American Conference. Mom, I know you're proud of me. I have been to all 13 stadiums in the MAC.
Should we have special music for the halftime segment? Should I admit at this point what the music is for our show? Do you know what the music is for our show?
What is it?
You know, it's just like general sounding college. Bum, 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 bum.
I thought it was...
We're going to reveal here now in our fifth show what is going on with the music of the Heart of the Rivalry.
I'm curious.
It is the fight songs of all four of our teams. Just overlapped onto each other.
Okay, because you can. I mean, you can hear it all. That's fascinating. Okay. 5 and 6 are tied for me.
So we have an OLI, or we have a tie.
A tie.
A tie. 5A and 5B.
I'd say Jaeger Stadium for Miami. Cool setup. It's kind of straightforward, two big grandstands, but a beautiful scenic campus. Great place to watch a football game on a fall afternoon. And the thing that separates it is kind of the cradle of Coaches Plaza. We all know the incredible history of Miami's coaches, Woody, Bo, Sid Gilman, Eubank, go on and on. And it's cool to see that history. It's like a mini college football hall of fame right there in the plaza. And tied with that, maybe
do they have any busts or little statues of those guys?
Yeah,
do they have
plaques? That's cool. What's cool. Yeah. Cool. And maybe this is a homer pick, but I throw Dwight Perry Stadium in there as well. And maybe it's just for the tailgating scene. I think it's awesome with just the vast green around it. Nobody likes to tailgate on parking lots. Bowling Green just has an incredible tailgating scene.
It does seem like it's on the edge of a golf course.
I know. Some people like to mock it. I mean, it feels like a big high school stadium, which is, you know, Toledo fans will say. And it certainly is a wind tunnel, but I love the Dwight, so.
It's a cool setup. Okay, number four.
Number four.
Check the
drum
names.
Roll, please. Oh, this is not one you might think. Actually, this one could be either last or first. So
Putting
it fourth. Infocision Stadium in Akron, which is where Toledo, or which is where Bowling Green is going this
weekend. The Rubber Bowl?
Yeah. It's like building... It's a stadium that makes no sense. If you had no familiarity with college football, you'd think, oh, this is for sure the best stadium in the MAC. It's only about 15 years old. It's beautiful. It wouldn't look super out of place in a big conference. They spent a ton of money on it, but there's never any atmosphere there. Nobody goes. I think Akron played
one. Oh, it feels like a bank?
Akron played one home game this year. They only got 8,000. I think they played Colgate. It was a nice day, and they still only got 8,000. So it's like, why build a great stadium and then not invest in your program at all? So great stadium architecturally, it just doesn't make any sense. And like, if you want to go to a good college football atmosphere, Akron is not it.
Are you saying it has zip?
Zip for charm, for show.
Number three.
Peden Stadium in Ohio, 1929. It is the oldest stadium in the MAC. Again, just a kind of like Miami, just a beautiful setting around it. You're right on the river. It's kind of the mountainy Appalachian setting.
Yeah. Student bases into it too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just you think about college football, Ohio is quintessential mid-major college football. Great scene.
Number two on Briggs' top five MAC stadium lists.
Western Michigan, Waldo Stadium. I kind of like everything about the setup here. First of all, Kalamazoo, great town.
Good
brewery scene.
Yeah.
And then the stadium. It's awesome. It's kind of built into the side of a hill. It's right next to a railroad track. It's just...
Oh, you love that stuff.
It's just charming.
The extra trappings.
For sure.
I think by process of elimination, I know what number one is.
Central Michigan.
Did you leave out the glass bowl?
No. It is the glass bowl. And this might be a homer pick, but I've done anonymous surveys with coaches and players, and the Glass Bowl always comes always comes out number one as the place that people most like to come to, and I think opposing fans would say the same. You go around the MAC, I mean, most of the stadiums just scream mid-major, or maybe a big Texas high school football stadium.
Yep.
Toledo is kind of the one stadium that kind of has a truly big-time feel with the enclosed horseshoe feel, the three levels of suites. I mean, that was unheard of.
It's got style.
When that came in 1990, I mean, that was way ahead of Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, all those schools. I mean, all the big schools have it now, but it just has a big-time feel, has the kind of the it's a Works Progress Administration project back in the day. They still have the old
stonework is great.
It's just really cool, the towers. Everything about it is a great place to watch a college football game, and that's why I have it above those other stadiums, above Akron.
So in our scouting segment, we look ahead to where our teams are playing this week. Briggs, what do you think is the biggest matchup?
The biggest matchup for our teams?
Most significant.
Got to be Miami at Toledo, rematch of last year's MAC title game. Both teams coming off, Toledo's coming off a disappointing loss at Western Kentucky, but they do have the off week.
The rain delay game.
Miami's coming off an uneven first month of the season. They finally get their first win, but pretty ugly. They win in overtime over UMass. They need a 47-yard field goal at the buzzer to send it to overtime, and then UMass gets a long touchdown pass called back in overtime for, I believe it was a legal formation or a legal man downfield, and UMass or Miami squeaks out the win. So I don't know what to expect. I do expect Toledo to come ready to go, off week, motivated. Good team as it is, and motivation from losing last year's MAC
title game. Isn't it also their homecoming?
It is. 24,000 seats have already been sold. I expect a full glass bowl, and I expect a Toledo team ready to go. But Miami's always tough, especially up front. It's going to be a tough test for their offense.
There is nothing to look past when it comes to our MAC team. So let's stay in the MAC. BG.
BG is at Akron. Not to pile beautiful on stadium. Akron some more, beautiful stadium, but I don't know, not much to say. I mean, BG is going to be ready after that tough loss to Old Dominion. Bowling Green rules.
Think I should tease the lineup again?
Akron rules, tease the lineup. Bowling Green wins running away.
All right, let's go to the Big Ten. What do you think?
Well, interesting game is Michigan at Washington, rematch of last year's national title game in name only. Almost nobody
left. They're wearing the colors.
Coaches aren't there. The players aren't there. Michigan is top 10 in the country, but actually a three-point underdog, which is fascinating, but also probably right. Michigan has not gotten anything going offensively, and Washington does have a pretty good defense, top 10 nationally defensively, haven't allowed a touchdown in three home games. So I would take Washington here unless Michigan can figure things out overnight. The Ohio State's tests getting a little harder each week. Big one against Oregon next week. That'll be the true measuring stick game. But yeah, Iowa, same as always. They do have a little bit of better offense this year. I think they're in the mid-60s nationally, so it might as well be the greatest show on turf for Iowa standards. another good defense. Phil Parker, shout out him, old former Toledo coach, probably the best defensive coordinator in the country. But Ohio State, just kind of a complete team. I expect them to continue to round into form here going into next week. So
one of the things I love about college football in particular is you can really see a team come together where they will be totally different from game one, even to game five.
Absolutely.
Or six.
For better or worse.
Yeah. But I feel like this team, like, we've seen positive increments every week, them getting a little better, a little more confident in themselves. So a real tough Big Ten defense. I'm looking forward to seeing that offensive line and hopefully some more one-handed grabs from Jeremiah Smith.
You going to tease that 24-point line?
There's a couple teams I don't like betting on, and that is Ohio State and the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
And why would that be?
Well, you have too much integrity.
Too much integrity, just like the heart of the rivalry. Thanks, Dave. We'll see you next week.